Stay tuned now on 1460 WVOX for The Ballot Box with your hosts Tamar Tate and Nita Lubin. The Ballot Box is a monthly program brought to you by the League of Women Voters of New Rochelle. Now, The Ballot Box on 1460 WVOX.
Good morning and welcome to The Ballot Box. I'm Tamar Tate and I'm joined by my co-host Nita Lubin. We're coming to you on behalf of the League of Women Voters of New Rochelle, courtesy of WVOX 1460 AM, and of course, our talented sound engineer, Daryl Bell. So, Nina, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Tamar. Same to you and all our listeners.
So, 2023 just begun. New York State's new legislative session is upon us, and Albany has a jam-packed agenda for the new year. It's Governor Kathy Hochul's first year as the elected governor of New York and her first session with the stability of a four-year tenure ahead of her. Democrats in Albany have kept their numbers, successfully maintaining their supermajorities in both chambers, and it looks like they're going to be a lot of issues to keep track of.
Yes, and one issue that the League of Women Voters is prioritizing this year is something that's been a very long time in coming, a New York State Equal Rights Amendment. Currently, 26 states have added an Equal Rights Amendment to their state constitutions. New York State, surprisingly, given its strong progressive voices, has not added an Equal Rights Amendment to its state constitution. The good news, however, is that the first legislative step has been taken, and that was done last year when the state legislature passed an ERA constitutional amendment.
Yeah, this was following the Supreme Court's overturn of Roe versus Wade. They had a special state legislative session in June and passed the New York State Equal Rights Amendment. A minute ago, Nina noted this was a first step. And that's because in order for the state ERA to be enshrined in our state constitution, it has to be passed a second time by a separately elected legislature and then voted on by the public. And this is not an easy lift. We haven't amended the New York State Constitution since 1938 when Herbert Lehman was governor.
The New York State League of Women Voters is one of a number of organizations working to ensure a second legislative passage this session and a public information campaign in anticipation of having the amendment on the ballot in 2024. The guests joining the ballot box this morning represent two of the organizations in the forefront of the work being done. With us this morning are Erica Smitka, the Deputy Director of the League of Women Voters of New York State. Erica is an Albany native with a passion for grassroots activism. Over the years, she's been active in the nonprofit world in a variety of capacities, and she's worked on political campaigns in California, Colorado, and Massachusetts.
And we're also very happy to greet Shannon Wong, who is Director of the Hudson Valley Chapter of the New York Civil Liberties Union, where Shannon organizes legal, educational, and community outreach. Prior to her work at the New York Civil Liberties Union, Shannon was an Orange County legislator. Both our guests lead their respective organizations in the fight to amend the state constitution with an equal rights amendment, and they're here to describe the ERA and explain why its passage is going to make a difference not only for women and in New York State's legal regime. Shannon and Erica, thank you for finding the time to join us this morning, and welcome to The Ballot Box.
Happy to be here.
Thank you both, and good morning, everyone. I'm happy to be here.
Terrific. Just to be clear about what our subject is today, Shannon, I'd like to ask you for this clarification. When I've used the phrase equal rights amendment, I've often seen a sort of knee-jerk type response and understanding that it's an amendment providing equal rights for women. The New York State amendment under consideration here covers way more than that. Can you provide us with an overview of the categories of individuals, in addition to women, whom the amendment will cover?
Certainly. And, you know, let me start by saying, you know, even I, who've worked at the Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, for 7 years and has spent my life working in movements to increase social justice and oppression, was sort of surprised to find out that the New York State Constitution doesn't protect us all. You know, and many of us are actually left out. It fails to prohibit discrimination against many groups who have been historically targeted, right, including those with disabilities, including those members of the LGBTQ communities, including immigrants, including people based on age, including pregnant people, and obviously including women. So the Equal Rights Amendment would explicitly prohibit discrimination based on ethnicity, national origin, age, disability, sex, and sex including sexual orientation, reproductive rights, gender identity, expression, pregnancy, and pregnancy outcome. So it really does, you know, when I think about the New York State ERA compared to the federal ERA, I think of it as sort of a much more inclusive and intersectional piece of legislation that really reflects the reality that there is sort of a target on some of the advances that we have made toward equality for many of these groups. So I hope that answers your question. But again, it's very important that people understand that the New York State ERA certainly moves beyond simply protection against sex. And it's much more expansive than that, including, as I said, sexual orientation, gender expression, pregnancy and pregnancy outcome. And it explicitly protects abortion in the Constitution, in addition to ethnicity, national origin, age, and disability.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's the most inclusive ERA amendment in the nation, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's right. There, you know, our policy director, our current policy director, used to work for the ACLU of Nevada, and they recently passed an ERA, and she was like, I can't believe they did it first, but we're going to do it better.
That's because we're New Yorkers.
That's right.
Erica, I'm wondering if you could explain to us why we need this amendment to the Constitution. What's wrong with how things currently stand? Don't we have legislation to protect all these separate groups?
Sure, yeah, we do. And, you know, as you noted earlier, New York State really is a fairly progressive state. And we do have a lot of pieces of legislation that protect some of these rights. But I think one of the most important things to remember, and one of the things that was really highlighted for us this summer with the overturning of Roe v. Wade, is that even though we might have some of these pieces of legislation in place that do protect our rights, it's fairly easy to overturn that legislation. You know, a new governor could come into the state. We could have a different type of legislature, and that legislature could quite easily overturn legislation that we have that currently protects all New Yorkers. So having something codified in our Constitution would really instill these protections and rights for all New Yorkers across the board, and would really make it a much stronger, much stronger piece of support to protect against discrimination. So I think that's probably the most important piece. But as I said, you know, what we saw this summer with the overturning of Roe v. Wade, and we saw the Supreme Court, and kind of after they made that decision, what happened is, you know, and since then, we've seen a lot of power and a lot of these decisions being pushed back to states. And it's on the shoulders of states to make these decisions and to decide how best they want to protect their citizens and their voters. And so given that something like abortion, for example, is kind of being put back on the states, it's, you know, all that more crucial that New York State takes this step, codifies the right and access to abortion, among many other things, in our Constitution to ensure that, you know, something that might happen on a federal level still wouldn't affect the rights of New Yorkers. And then the last thing I want to note is that, you know, we really are a leading progressive state. You know, it's usually New York and California. So it is quite a shame that we don't yet have sex at least codified in our Constitution. And it's really about time that New York State and our Constitution steps into the 21st century.
Were there efforts before this? At creating a Equal Rights Amendment
in New York.
Yeah, in New York State.
In New York State. You know, that's a great question, and I don't know if Shannon can speak to this a little bit more. Not that I'm aware of. That being said, it doesn't mean that there may have been, but I know that this piece of legislation is one that, you know, hasn't just happened in the past year or two, but has been kind of ongoing for many years. But go ahead, Shannon.
I'll come back after the break, I think.
Yes, we are headed for a break. Thank you, ladies. Right. We'll see you at the other side of it.
Return now to The Ballot Box with your hosts, Tamar Tate and Nita Lubin, brought to you by the League of Women Voters of New Rochelle. Once again, The Ballot Box on 1460 WVOX.
Welcome back. We are discussing the proposed Equal Rights Amendment to the New York State Constitution. And before we proceed, I guess, deeper into the weeds on this topic, I want to take a step back and clarify something. I'm wondering if the ERA, and either one of you, Erica or Shannon, can answer this, does the ERA, as it's written, apply only to government actors, such as schools or law enforcement, municipal services, or are private employers also covered under this?
Currently, as it stands, the ERA applies to government actors. There's other provisions of the law, the human rights law, for example, and I think the civil rights law that applies to more public accommodations or private actors.
Okay, so I would assume that. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, just wanted to jump in. I know that I think it was the ACLU who worked for many years on enacting, especially when it comes to labor and employment protections. Kind of state by state for at least LGBTQIA individuals. So like Shannon said, there are different kind of state level protections in there, but this law would apply to the government only, or government agents.
Right, so those would be...
In New York, we have the Gender Expression and Non-Discrimination Act.
Okay, so those are all statutory protections then.
Right.
Okay,
right.
And also I would assume that the ERA does not apply to religious institutions.
Religion is already sort of a protected class in the Constitution, right? Race and religion already existed there. A private individual church can still sort of do what they deem, you know, appropriate within the barriers of their religion.
Right. I know the state constitution actually protects that as a class. So I would assume that they're operating under that protection.
There's currently, you know, there's a case that I'm not super familiar with, but there's a case like at the Yeshiva University in, downstate, like in mm-hmm. your sort of more your neck of the woods. I actually live further up in the Mid-Hudson Valley area right now, where like the Yeshiva University is saying they don't want to have a club, an LGBT club, on campus because it offends the religion. And we are, you know, supporting the challenges in that case and we're advocates in that case. So, we are certainly a First Amendment organization that protects people's right to religion. It is certainly our preference that religion not be used as a tool to discriminate against others. So that's, an ongoing balance that the folks in the legal department are constantly, you know, weighing.
Okay, understood. Thanks for the clarification. So my back to the question before the break, ordinary New Yorkers can, situational examples. We are talking about anyone working for or anyone attending a school, anyone employed by the state government in any capacity, and there are millions of people employed by the state government. Fireman. So this is really, we really are talking about ordinary New Yorkers here, getting that that depth of coverage and inclusivity right. with regard to equal rights.
You know, a fire department's a good example, right? Like with a public fire department, or a police department, somebody wouldn't be denied the opportunity to apply for a position there based on their gender expression right. or their gender identity, right?
Right. And I imagine that it's not just firing, but it would also be any type of harassment, right, that someone might receive while in the employ of the government. Although, I don't know, maybe that's for the courts to work out. I'm not sure.
Right. Yeah, there would also be there's a variety of different sexual harassment, provisions, whether it's like you're creating a hostile work environment or you've done a this for that or quid pro quo situation. Mm-hmm. So it depends on, what kind of harassment, people are experiencing. And then, sometimes harassment is actually like a crime, right? Raises the level mm-hmm. of like a violation level mm-hmm. crime, mm-hmm. Which is lower than a misdemeanor and a felony. Mm-hmm. In my previous life, I did sexual harassment work at the YWCA's, so it's bringing me back.
See, I am getting the impression in my head of, yes, we have these intertwining numerous laws and regulations that do protect a variety of people and a variety of classes, but this is sort of the substratum. Like, this ensures that the ERA kind of ensures that those laws will remain on the books. Basically,
right,
it really supports.
Supports, or it's like the law of the land, right? I mean, it's like the mm-hmm. top law of the land, mm-hmm. which is why it's so important. I would say that versus a substratum,
right.
What you're saying is that like we went through this onerous process of passing two separately elected legislatures, and then we brought it to the voters, and the voters approved it. And what that should say to the courts and to the legislatures and to future executives is that this mattered to the citizens of New York State, that like the agreement you are making with your citizens, the Constitution, has to reflect a inclusive prohibition against discrimination based on this broad range of categories, and that matters to right. the voters and the citizens of your country. So it's kind of holding a very high bar.
Yes, I will course correct myself. It is not underneath. It is like the top layer from which all else flows. Thank you. Thank you very much. Tamar and I have a question about strategy. Tamar, you have some statistics on
I saw this poll from June that showed New Yorkers really overwhelmingly support passing an ERA, and there's actually an expectation that lawmakers are going to step up and take some kind of meaningful action. It was actually 79% of voters who said they'd vote yes on a constitutional amendment that would expand equal rights protection. The poll also suggested that if that measure was included on the ballot, it would have a positive impact on voter turnout. And I'm wondering if you think this broad level of support will expedite passage, or whether your strategy is to wait until November of 2024, when more voters are likely to turn out at the polls for the presidential election.
So I'll get us started, and then Erica going to talk a little bit about, or you want to go ahead, Erica, because I know we're going to definitely lean into groups that have statewide reach to ensure the public education component.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I was going to get to, Shannon. And I do want to say, I think in this past election, and Shannon often mentions that, we've seen a lot of ERA-like amendments or abortion amendments passed in other states with overwhelming support. So, and that support that you mentioned that's here in New York State, I mean, I think it really does bode well for passage of this amendment, but it really does come down to education and kind of statewide education and educating voters about what's going to be on their ballot and why passing this measure is important. And I think that while the study did point out that, it could invigorate voters to get out to the polls, it's really important to remember and that, the strategy here is that it is essential that the amendment, and it will be on the ballot in the 2024 presidential election. Just because the turnout for local elections is historically both low and also less representative of community demographics. In New York State in particular, we typically see about 60% of people show out to the polls for presidential elections. I'm sorry, I don't mean to misspeak. It's actually a nationwide stat. 60% of the people show up to the polls for presidential elections, mm. and that number drops to about 30% or less when you're talking about local elections or kind of an off-year election season. And so it's And frankly, New York State already suffers from low voter turnout across the board. So, you know, we know that the support is out there with New Yorkers, and we really can't risk, you know, just kind of having it be an off year and having it be something that voters aren't aware of. So having it on the ballot in a presidential election year not only increases that visibility, but, you know, also allows for even more New Yorkers to get educated about the amendment, you know, between now and then, and to really learn why it's important for it to pass.
Right. And assuming we have to assume, though, that the legislature must pass it this term for a second time before it reaches that 2024 ballot.
Right. Yes, yeah, it will only come back on its current status in the legislature.
Great.
Yes,
great.
There you go.
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
Let's return now to the Ballot Box with your hosts, Tamar Tate and Nita Lubin, brought to you by the League of Women Voters of New Rochelle. Once again, the Ballot Box on 1460 WVOX.
Good morning again, and welcome back. Before the break, we were talking about the actual current status of the New York State proposed Equal Rights Amendment to the state constitution. We've moved a little bit away from content, which we've been discussing in some detail, to the procedural aspects of getting this done. So I believe it was Shannon, you were starting to give us a quick update on the current status.
Sure. excuse me. So Erica had it all right. We are, you know, aware that an odd year election is likely to have a lower turnout. So we are putting this on the ballot for November 2024. Another thing I'll say before I get right into where we stand is that, you know, we have seen, as you said in your intro, that, you know, 26 states have already done something similar, not as good, but similar. and the other thing we learned in the midterms is that, like, abortion did well on the ballot, right? Like, places like Kansas, you know, passed ballot initiatives that supported the right to abortion. This is also overwhelmingly the case across the aisle throughout the entire state of New York and in the country. Most people want control over their own bodies and don't want the government telling them what they can and can't do with their own bodies, right? So we know that we'll have a better turnout in 2024. We know that in the midterms, abortions are well on the ballot. We know this issue is successfully passed in other states. We know the polling supports us. What we also now know, based on sort of where we stand currently, that we are getting some bipartisan support, right? At least we're not running into intense opposition or partisan politics getting in the way of this piece of legislation moving forward, and that there seems to be a real commitment to sort of safeguarding the rights of millions of New Yorkers from the entire legislature. So, for example, we had some Republicans vote yes. When it went for first passage in July, what I can share with you now is it has to go through two committees, and it's making its way through those two committees before it is brought to the floor, which we hope and think will be the week of January 23rd. We're thinking hopefully around the 24th it will be voted on for second passage.
That's next week.
That's
fast.
Next week. Yeah. I can tell you a little bit about sort of the strategy there. But yesterday, talk about timely. Yesterday, it passed the Senate Judiciary Committee with three Republicans voting aye without recommendation, which some people have described as like voting present. But I describe it as sort of like, okay, but I don't love it. Like, but we'll do it.
Right.
That to me, I fought for no fault of horse in New York State when I worked at the, I was working in the policy department at the New York State Coalition Against Domestic Violence, and no fault of horse was a huge effort for us. And I was over the moon when I got a Republican Senator Bonner to vote aye without recommendations, right?
Exactly.
Like, even to say something.
Even the hint of bipartisan support is like music to the ears of the public. Just getting moving things. Yeah, yeah.
That's right. And it's hard during these times to have hope when, you know, I mean, this is like the first time in my life that the Supreme Court took away rights, right? I mean, I knew it was coming. You know, I told my daughters, not that they believed me, that they would lose their federal right to abortion in their lifetime. Hopefully not mine, I used to say. I say probably in your lifetime, but hopefully not mine. But clearly I was wrong.
like one of the earliest actions the Supreme Court took was to overturn Roe and sort of like telegraph that they were coming for more, right? Mm-hmm. So to me, at a time when I think our democracy and our rights are really in jeopardy, to see glimmers of bipartisanship and a commitment to ending discrimination for all, it does really give me hope.
Erica, I know the State League of Women Voters has created an ERA advocacy task force. Maybe you can describe that for our listeners and describe some of the work they're going to be doing. And can anyone join that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So right now, the task force, well, I will say up front, anyone and everyone should join their local League of Women Voters. But the task force is currently made up of delegates from over 30 local leagues from across the state, truly from, you know, the North Country to out west to out on Long Island. And these delegates we are going to be working together as a task force to not only support the passage of the ERA in this legislative session, but also we're really ready to kind of launch a massive educational campaign, a statewide campaign to educate voters about this amendment and what's going to be on the ballot. And I'll say, you know, our local leagues and these local league delegates that are on the task force represent thousands of voters and thousands of local league members statewide. And you know, the league has just 103 years of voter education. That is one of our founding principles, is to be able to educate voters about what's going to be on their ballot so they can make an educated decision. And that's really what this task force is designed to do, is to kind of launch and to lead that education effort in the state of New York.
So any of our listeners can contact their local League of Women Voters. There's one right here in New Rochelle where we're broadcasting from. And they can get involved in this effort, right?
Yes. Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
And if I can just say, like, it's a huge benefit to our work, those of us who are sort of on the steering committee here, to have an organization like the League with such clear statewide reach. I think this is maybe one of the first times I've been able to say that I had a group from the St. Lawrence area, which is, you know, way up north, right? Mm-hmm. Like on the St. Lawrence Seaway, that's like practically Canada, signed on to a letter, right? So, you know, we've got groups, the NYCLU and Planned Parenthood, sort of all around the state, but really the reach of the League is an incredible benefit to us. And to be working with Erica, who is clearly committed and willing to commit both time and energy to helping move this forward, is just a gift to us.
That's wonderful to hear. Wonderful to hear.
It's always lovely to work with you as well, Shannon. I want to, the letter you're referring to is that Shannon is referring to is a letter of all kinds of organizations across the state that support. And I was taking a look at it last night, actually, and out of the, you know, almost 100 signees, I think different local leagues across the state represent almost a fourth of those signees. So, you know, when the league commits to something, we certainly show up and show out. So we're definitely excited about this campaign.
I'd love to see that letter published on a full page in our newspapers of record.
Yeah, there will be a press release attached to it once we format it and close it up.
So it sounds like the ERA amendment is on a trajectory towards success, but I'm just, I guess, being a Debbie Downer, there is some opposition to this. You know, last year, Nina and I had a guest, Jesse Wegman of the New York Times editorial board, and he was speaking to us about the ERA on a federal level. And one of the points he made was he suggested that our failure nationally to adopt an ERA is due mostly to the issue of abortion, that today's ERA opponents see the measure as, above all, resulting in bans on state laws that restrict or prohibit a woman's right to terminate her pregnancy. I'm wondering, can you speak to this on a state level? Is that primarily where the opposition sits in New York? I know the New York State Catholic Conference has issued a memo of opposition on that basis. Is that the primary opposition?
As far as you can tell.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard to say. I mean, I think things have changed, right? Like, I think the article you're referring to was before the fall of Roe, right? And what we have seen is that, like, people, in Kansas, right, and all across, in both sides of the aisle, are supportive of abortion rights, right? Like, and that's the polling and the research all show that to be the case, particularly in New York, right? So, you know, I live, like I said, in the Hudson Valley, and I have some senators who are in marginal districts. And there are some issues that I think they're afraid to touch because they think it'll cost them their seat. Mm-hmm. But choice hasn't been one of those issues, because what they know is, particularly in New York, there is the wide majority of people want the ability to control their own destiny, right? They understand the importance of not being subject to a forced pregnancy. So honestly, to tell you the truth, I think if you had a conversation with that person now, mm-hmm. And if we were talking about New York State, we would find that abortion, it's actually been the catalyst to get this going, to the chagrin of our attempt to make it look more intersectional, to have it, you know, address sort of the structural discrimination that people face with our disparate impact claim. Mm-hmm. We got this over the finish line because Dobbs leaked and Roe fell, right? We are bringing it to the floor January. We are hoping to get it to the floor January 24th, because what would have been the 50th anniversary of Roe is January 22nd, right? So we have been actually using the abortion as a catalyst to move it forward, but really trying to maintain this balance of saying, like, we are riding those coattails, but this just is not just a win for gender justice and reproductive rights. It is a real victory for immigrants, people with disabilities, for age discrimination, for national origin and ethnicity. Like, it's much bigger, but we can get it done by riding the coattails of abortion.
Times and sentiment have changed due to the Dobbs decision. It has really had an impact, unexpected, I imagine.
Right.
And
hopefully
justices.
It carries through on the national level as well.
Yeah,
that would be an interesting future for the ERA. We'll see. Although I think on the national level right now, we're tied up in a lot of litigation on that. So to be continued.
Erica Smitka, New York State League of Women Voters, Shannon Wong, the New York Civil Liberties Union, thank you for sharing your views, the background, your insights this morning. We're delighted to have had you, and thank you for your time. Our next show, listeners, Wednesday, February 15th at 9 in the morning here on WVOX, 1460 AM. We hope everyone has
a super day.
Bye-bye.